All right, y'all. How's it going? This is episode 3 of the podcast. I'm sitting down with my good boy, Ray French. One of the best guys I've met here in college. I'm glad to know him and I'm excited to have him here on the podcast. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting things, but before we start, Rafe, go ahead and just, you know, tell the world a little bit about yourself, where you come from, maybe what your major is and what you're up to now.
Yeah, 100%. So thank you for that humble introduction. I would have to reiterate what Saul said, that he too is one of the greatest people I've met at UT for sure. 3.5 years, I think we're going now, friendship.
Yes, sir.
It's going pretty good. But a little bit about me. I am from Houston, Texas. I was born and raised there. My parents still live in the same house that I grew up in. I went to Bel Air High School, for anybody that ever listens to this and knows what that is. Played football and basketball while I was there. Football was my primary sport. Basketball, I was the best at, though, but, you know, it is what it is. But anyways, yeah, I went to UT with Saul, obviously, marketing major, BBA, gotta love it. After I finished school, I got a job with Paylocity up in Chicago. Shout out Paylocity. And I'm loving it. 2 weeks in, having a great time. Going to move up August 1st. Today is, what, the 20th as we look at it? We love to see it. I'm excited to get up there and start a new chapter.
Yeah, man, it's exciting stuff. By the time this episode airs, you will be starting your new life in Chicago. New things await you.
Big time.
It's exciting stuff. You know, I guess to kick off the discussion to where we're going, you know, you've done a lot of great things in college, a lot of interesting things. I guess what has been some of the most pivotal things that you've experienced that have helped you grow, and what have you taken away from those things?
Sure. Specifically in college, I would say the first thing that comes to my mind was becoming a FIG mentor. And FIG mentor stands for a first year interest group leader. And my role there was basically to help these 15, 16 incoming freshmen adjust to life on campus. You know, being freshmen, I understood what that felt like. You know, I'm sure you did too. Wide-eyed, you don't know where one building is or the next building, you end up halfway across the campus in the wrong spot. So my goal was basically to help give them both, you know, academic tools, as well as, you know, introductions to clubs and also like personal finance stuff and like money management and how to be a good student. And that was one of the things when I got into that, I felt really like I was making an impact in the community versus at like UT. I felt like I found my place of like able to help people. And that was kind of one of the things that I wanted to do when I came to UT. So yeah, that would be the first example.
That's good stuff, man. I mean, if there's one thing the world needs to take away from this podcast is that this man, Rafe, is just a giver.
I give and I give.
He gives, man. And yeah, that's great stuff. What would you say, even going further back before college, what do you think has shaped you and who you are today? Some of the morals that you carry, some of the virtues that you hold dear. What are some of the organizations that you were a part of maybe that shaped your life to become this ultra giver that you now are?
Yes. So I would say one of the first things that kind of teaches you about that sense of morals is just sports in general. And for me, I started at like the YMCA. I don't know. I mean, what about you? Where did you go? Yeah, where did you start?
I was like CYO. So it was church based, but yeah,
exactly the same thing. So it's like, you know, they had us do prayer before we started games. That's, you know, the religious organization at the YMCA, but that was a lot of structure in how to be a good teammate, how to, you know, be a team player, and even all the way up to like high school where you got to be, you know, one unit, cohesive. You got to trust each other. And that's just kind of one of those things that you don't learn until you're in the trenches, if you were to say something like that. In addition to sports, I would say Boy Scouts was probably one of the biggest things that had an impact on my life. I ended up becoming an Eagle Scout, and it's about a six and a half year process to get all the way up there. And the way it works is, for those of you who aren't really familiar, you typically go on campouts about once a month. And on these campouts, it's usually an adult group who stays to themselves, and then the boys in their patrol troops who have like a scout, like leader in each of those three patrols, and you got 10 kids in a troop. And what that allowed us to do was become our own people, in my opinion, giving us that freedom that most people don't get until way later on in life. I was an 11, 12 year old having weekends away from my parents. When's the first time that that happened for you?
Yeah, honestly, I cannot say the same. I mean, I was in soccer, but you know, most of the time I was fortunate that my mom would be the one driving me and my friends to the tournament, you know, in Houston, Dallas, wherever it may have been. But I don't think I had a weekend away from my parents, especially having four parents because my parents are divorced, mm-hmm. until I was, you know, a late teenager. And I think, you know, that probably hindered my development in some way. But yeah, to go back to your point, it was way later than 10, 11.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's such a powerful opportunity for people so young that, you know, like I said, not everybody really gets, because for me personally, I would go out on these trips and I didn't have to worry about, you know, what was my mom going to say if I did this, or if I like snuck out, or if I went, whatever. It's like, it was just my responsibility. It was like, whatever I did, I wanted to do it. Nobody else had like forced me to do it. So that was like one of the big moments of becoming like who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, just from knowing you now, I would say you're one of the most independent people I've met. Definitely one of the most mature too, coming into college. Most people are pretty immature and they go pretty buck wild when they get here, as we've seen through people that we know. But you always had your head screwed on pretty tight, even though we were having fun, whatever it may have been. I think you definitely got a lot of that out of the way prior to coming here, or experienced what you needed to experience, learned the lessons you needed to learn before you came here. And maybe that stems from that, you know, initial contact or initial time away from your parents in that developmental stage.
Absolutely. I think that getting it younger pushed me forward in my maturity for sure. And I mean, it ties into other things outside of Boy Scouts too. I mean, it's just like my parents were not super strict because I was a good student and I never had given them any reason to think I was going to make trouble and, you know, go out and do stuff. So I could go over to my friends or say I was going over to my friends when I actually was going out to a party on a weekend or whatever. And so it's just, I had a lot of that trust and flexibility built in because they'd seen me successfully behave on my own on weekends during Boy Scout trips and not get into trouble. So they're like, oh, you know, he'll make good decisions when he's doing whatever over the weekend. I think that was big. And then in addition to that, I think my maturity got higher because of my older sisters.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, you feel that you probably got a lot of wisdom from your siblings.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like their mistakes were no longer yours to make.
Yeah.
You know, they would fill you in like, you know, be careful when you go to your first college party. Like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, try not to black out. Yeah. And so like, you know, those kind of like words of advice, or like, you know, how to study and stuff. That was tips that I would get from them too. And so that was a big part of the process where I didn't have to do it on my own. It wasn't me versus the world.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I mean, just from my own side of things, I have a pretty eclectic group of siblings because we're such a blended family.
Right.
So we're all completely different. I mean, I had one older brother that was, you know, more similar to me. He went out on the weekends. He did cool social stuff like that. And then I had a sister who just grinded 24/7, got into like the number one grad school program for what she wanted to do. Another sister my age that did the same thing. So it's like we're all kind of all over the place. But they definitely instilled a lot of wisdom into me that I'm really grateful for. I still had my mistakes to make on my own, unfortunately, that they didn't make for me. But yeah, it helped me a lot to be where I am today. And I think I feel bad for people that are only children, to be totally honest. Like,
agreed.
It'd be tough going through this life, a pioneer in your own world without any sort of, you know, people to keep you in check like that. I think siblings are probably the greatest checkmates of all time.
Yeah. Even if you're younger than your siblings, you know,
definitely.
It's like they, you know, I still have a pretty good relationship with my sisters, and when we see each other, we always kind of catch up and give each other advice. And, you know, I try and tell them things and I hope that they take into account what I say. I feel like they do, you know, but it, you know, it is what it is on that front, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, just from knowing you, I feel like you're wise beyond your years. So as a sibling of yours, I imagine they're probably pretty proud to see where you are now, and definitely the wisdom that you've come to know.
Right.
And impart on other people. I mean, it's helped a lot of people that I know that you've touched. So it's great stuff. I know that you studied abroad here in college. Tell us a little bit about that. I know a lot of people don't get to experience that, but yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate that I was able to go study abroad. You know, shout out to my parents. I love them. Thank you very much. Big shout out, Mr. and Mrs. French. And the nice thing was, through McCombs, it was actually the same price for the education as it would have been at UT.
Wow.
Which is like, you know, how could I not, if it's going to be the same price, do it somewhere else? You know, and I was lucky enough that I could, you know, work my butt off during winters and summer breaks and keep the money that I was making instead of having to spend it on rent. And so that allowed me, when I got there, to travel as much as I wanted to, which was really fortunate, really lucky.
How many countries did you end up visiting, just for the listeners?
I think I would have to count again, but it was at least 15. Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
But I, you know, and that's the thing is, I've been lucky that my parents love to travel as well. And so they go all over the place. And I've been lucky that I've gotten to tag along for several of them. You know, it's like we went to Greece when my sisters were in college, and we went to, you know, Puerto Rico one time. It's just like traveling is so much fun.
It is, man.
I know you just went on a big trip.
Yeah. Carissa and I were fortunate enough, even during the entire pandemic, to get to go on a week long road trip. We had originally planned to do like a month long road trip, but we cut it short. And, we got to go to New Mexico, Grand Canyon in Arizona, Lake Powell, up to Utah and do Zion, and then some of the national parks in Nevada and the other side of Utah. So it was a great experience. I think we got to bond on a whole different level, because we've done road trips before, but never to that length and extent of being, you know, totally by ourselves. So it was great. It was a great learning moment. And it was really great to escape from all of what a reality is right now. It was
big time.
Yeah, I mean, as important as it is to be aware and to, you know, keep it at the forefront of our minds, COVID, you know, protests, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff is really important. It was really nice to take a step back and to just soak in nature, to be present, and to just really get a mental break from all the jumping jacks that I've been doing with all this information. So
big time.
It was great.
Yeah, I know that. I was watching your snaps and your Instagrams, and I was just like, yep, he's doing it right this summer.
It was fire, guys. Yeah. I highly recommend road trips. I mean, I feel like that's definitely something that our generation is losing too. Everyone's like, hop on a plane, go here, you know, go here. But I don't know. My parents and I, we did a lot of road trips when I was a kid, and that's something that I really enjoy. And I definitely want to do that with my kids someday as well.
What was like the longest road trip you would do?
Ooh. So we went from San Antonio, Texas to Seattle, Washington.
Oof.
Fellas, we were two boys in the backseat of a Tahoe, and it was cramped for like 32 hours. It was rough, but definitely character building, definitely patience building for sure. But one thing, as cliche as it is, it's not even about the destination, because as exciting as it was to go visit family in Seattle, like everywhere that we went along the way, all the things that we bonded over, the movies, the time eating out, you know, watching the World Cup, like in a McDonald's, you know, all that, all the journey is just as important as the destination.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, you talk about that's a long trip. I was thinking mine was pretty long. We used to do Houston to Morganville, Kentucky, which is where my grandparents live. And, it is just a brutal drive.
Yeah.
It's just nothing out there. So it's just, you know, corn and hills and more corn. But it was nice that for 15, 16 hours, you know, we were in a car all together, you know, spending time together, annoying each other, laughing together, all that good stuff. I mean, we were in a minivan with one of those, you know, DVD like flop down things. Yeah. And it was always nice because we would bring the like GameCube or the 64 and we would just be playing in the back, so that our parents wouldn't get annoyed. Just like, that's how we would be quiet. Because you're just like, so that's where the grind started. For anybody who knows and listens to this, I like to think I'm pretty good at Smash. That's where that started.
This man goes hard in Smash.
Yeah. That's a, it's a big, big moment, was starting off on those 15 hour drives. I had to do something or I would go crazy.
Yeah, the way my siblings and I did it is we would get in the car and we would literally play the three Lord of the Rings back to back. And by the time they were over, I don't know for y'all that don't know, but it's like 8 hours of movie.
That's an investment.
By the time it's over, you're like halfway to wherever the heck you're going. So it's a good go-to as well.
Yeah, big time. And this was back when, you know, you only had a CD or two a CD player. There was no iPods yet back when we were doing these drives. So it was me and my 10 favorite songs at the time for 15 and a half hours. That's why, for example, Life is a Highway is just like imprinted in my brain forever. Cause that was one of those 10 songs that made the list.
Man, I thought I was so cool. I would burn CDs, make my own playlists off of LimeWire and all these pirated songs. And it's just like, looking back at that, today's kids will never even understand the struggle of curating your own playlist from pirated music. It's just something we definitely take to
sensational. Paying 99 cents per song. Gosh, wow.
What a time. I spent a lot of iTunes gift cards.
I spent a lot of iTunes gift cards. Wow, that was such a gift for birthdays.
It was.
Go get your 10-year-old best friend a $25 iTunes gift card.
Oh, that was my go-to for my siblings every year. Just $10 iTunes for you.
Yeah, it's just so easy, so simple, so thoughtless.
Yes.
I remember for the longest time, there was a toy store that my mom would go to get toys for my friends. This is before middle school and stuff, when people would still be playing with toys. And it was just it had all these inflatable, motorized cars and things of that nature. And it was just a lot of fun stuff. I remember that was good times going in there.
Bro, I miss childhood a lot. I don't know about you, but I feel like it was such a simpler time. Life is just crazy right now. I miss being a kid. I miss just having minimal responsibilities. You know, life's really speeding up really fast now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in the workforce at this point, two weeks in.
Big time.
Why don't you touch on that a little bit, what you're looking forward to, what you're nervous about, some of the things that you've experienced already in that realm.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, like you said, so definitely still getting my foot in the door as far as adjusted to adult life. But I've really enjoyed it so far. One of the biggest things that changed is my sleep schedule. Yeah. Just when it's summertime after school, I'm going to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning, getting up at 11.
Yeah.
And now that's just, I got to be on call at 8:30, up and ready to go. So I have to go to bed by 11 o'clock. It's just a total life adjustment.
Yeah, you've really made the transition from 22 years old to 50 in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. It's very wild. Yeah. But I'm definitely excited for the opportunity that this role is going to give me, because it's a rotational program designed to give us or prepare us at least for leadership experience in 2 to 3 years time. And so within the business's operations department, we're going to be rotating every 6 months to these different sides of the business. And that way we get exposure and can then effectively lead people if that's what we end up getting into, which is exciting.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Do you feel nervous at all to take on more responsibility? I mean, 6 months is a decent amount of time, but at the same time, you're going from a student to basically a leader in terms of 6 months. How would you say that what experiences have you had in leadership up until this point? How do you think that's going to help you going forward?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, for starters, back to that first question about, it's always, intimidating, a little bit, but that's okay, because that means it matters to you.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. It's like, if you're not nervous about it, no matter what it is, a basketball game or, presentation you're about to give. It's just, if you're not nervous, to me, I mean, it's like, do you really care about it? And so, for example, we actually had a presentation today. And it was beforehand, everybody's same kind of thing, pretty nervous about it, but excited to get it done. And once you're in there, it's always, the nerves go away.
Yeah.
And the same with sports, it's like once you actually start playing the game, you're good. And I think that's what it's going to be like with leadership roles. It's like, it may look a little intimidating from the outside, but once you get in there, you start to feel it. I think it's not going to be as bad as everybody is concerned that it might become.
Yeah. I think the worst part of everything when it comes to nerves, it's just anticipation. And like the longer the wait, the worse it is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know about you, but I have really bad test anxiety. So pretty much any test in college where like it was a final or any sort of standardized test, I would be so like anxious to the point of like being sick beforehand. Did you experience like any of that stuff before, you know, giving speeches or having to do tasks that you were unfamiliar with or in any way like that?
Yeah, I would say that as far as the level that you're talking about, I probably can't remember an instance where I've experienced that. But I think that partially ties into the fact that I've always been really extroverted.
Yeah.
My parents like to joke that like when they were dropping me off for like preschool, I'd just be chatting away in the car, just nonstop, like everything and anything. It was just kind of one of those curiosity things for me. It's just, I always wanted to know more. I always had questions and that kind of broke the ice as well. In the fact that both of my parents are really extroverted as well.
Yeah.
Because my dad is a salesman and my mother is a teacher. And so like both of their roles require them to engage with people all the time. And so that rubbed off on me as well. The fact that like, for example, my mom can always light up a room with conversation. Like it's one of her skills. And I think it comes from teaching, you know, it's like, she's got like that natural ability. Same with my dad. It's like, I feel like he always knows how to control a conversation. And that probably comes with age too, but yeah. I think it's just kind of one of those things that they're both really good at it. So they were good examples of the way to interact with people.
Yeah. They've definitely done a great job instilling that in you, I would say. I mean, it's hard to be good at that. And it's great that you're at that point where you're pretty confident in what you're doing, what you're saying, you know, what you're feeling. That's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the things that we touched on a little before we pressed record on this episode was your overarching mentality about life. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So basically, it's called the growth mindset. And for those of you that don't know, it's the idea that you're never done learning, basically. No matter what or how long you've been doing something, there's always opportunity to get better at it. And it's a contrastive statement to what they call a fixed mindset. Fixed mindset, I kind of stumbled. But which is the idea that, you know, you're pretty much done learning. You think you can handle it no matter what kind of thing. Like, you've got this. And by having that growth mindset, it really humbles your ego. Because it's not like, oh, I can handle like everything. It's like, oh, even if I can't handle it, I can learn from it and be better the next time. Because it's like, you're always going to fall once or twice. Like, nobody's ever going to be perfect all the time. It's like the quotes that you see where it's like, it's not about how many times you fall. It's about how many times you get up after it, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, you know, it's that idea kind of ties into the growth mindset that it's like, you know, don't be afraid to fail. Always keep wanting to learn more. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's a solid mindset. I'd never heard the term coin like that before, but when you put it the way you put it, it's pretty solid. And I think we can definitely all benefit from that. Just to tie it into this book that I was reading, I just finished it yesterday. It's called Tuesdays with Maury. Something that it really highlighted is it's about this old man who's growing really old. He's about to die. And he's talking to this, you know, really unfulfilled, like 30-year-old who's in a really, you know, corporate America job type of thing. And everyone our age is like, oh, I don't want to grow old. You know, it's all about staying young. And what Maury says is that's characteristic of like an unfulfilled life. I don't know where I'm really going with this, but just, I guess for people our age, it's really important to like look forward to growing old, tying it back into that growing mindset. I think it's really important to look forward to where you're going to go, to look forward to acquiring new knowledge, to look forward to acquiring new wisdom. And to, I mean, after finishing this book, I'm actually really excited to get older. I'm excited for everything that comes with that. And it would be really sad if I stayed the same way I am as a 21-year-old, you know? And I think life has a lot more to offer for all of us. So I'm looking forward to that wisdom, that growth that's going to come with this. And yeah, do you have any last concluding thoughts that you want to leave the audience with?
I mean, just add on to that point, it's kind of like the concept of Peter Pan. It's just a guy that never grew up and, you know, all the, you know, terrible things that go wrong with that. And it's just, you know, a story of kind of exactly what you hit on, that it's exciting to look forward to the future because, you know, I mean, obviously right now we got a lot of stuff going on that need to get better, but you got to hope that with people like us can help make an impact and, you know, try and have that positive role that can push the progress forward in any facet. but
definitely to tie this back full circle, I think people our age really have a duty that is really underutilized and underserved in giving back and being examples for people to come. And I think we've really dropped the ball on that. Like, I think we are in an incredible position with the amount of knowledge that's at our fingertips right now with our generation. The amount of information, you know, the amount you can educate yourself. It's really time for us to better ourselves. And in turn, we can really better make a change in the world with regards to everything that's going on. So I think, yeah, I guess that'll be my last concluding thought. It's been great to have you here, buddy. I'm going to miss you.
Great being here.
It's been an incredible ride of college, but I'm looking forward to what the next chapter has in store for us. So
me too.
It's been great, man.
Yeah, it has.
Signing off, it is Saul and my boy Rafe. Thank you for being here.
H-Town.